Anytime someone has a witness for the Lord, if the Lord's telling you to stand up and give a witness, then you need to do that. Don't hesitate. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. Chris, you got a song?
Amen. Get your hymnal turned to 196. 196. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there?
Witness for him tonight. Amen. Something that Aaron read this morning stuck out with me, and I didn't know it, but I'd already had it highlighted in my Bible, but I just want to read that again. It's in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4 and 5. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'm thankful for those stripes. The stripes of healing. Thank the Lord for them. But even more importantly, he made it. So we weren't under the law anymore, because we just couldn't live up to the law, Steve. We just couldn't live up to it. But I'm glad that he stepped in. He had to. It had to be God on earth through Christ. I'm thankful for that. Someone else with a witness. Bless you, John. Amen.
And so there's another way it cleanses away. It says, so it distracts the inward parts of the belly. And the wickedness of the wind cleanses away, so it distracts the inward parts of the belly. And you know, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit now leads and brings the Lord. I appreciate it.
Amen. Bless you, John. Amen. Someone else. Amen. If he hasn't been good to any of you all, he sure has been good to me. Every time I turn around, I don't know why, but last Tuesday I had a thing I had to do. It was a test, but I don't know why, but it was I was sweating it. I really was. I don't know how else to say it, but guy has to come in and he has to give you a performance examination, and I've done performance examinations with him before, and he's very fair and he's very open. He uses it as a teaching thing, but when you just don't feel 100% comfortable, you start sweating it, and the devil, he gets in there and he starts whispering at you and making you nervous and everything. And Well, I just started praying. I said, Lord, just take it, you know, just take it. And everything went just fine. But I'm thankful for that. Someone else. Amen. Chris, you got another one?
Yep.
He's got another one. Bless you, Chris.
Turn to 116. Shake hands with at least three people, okay? Whether you like them or not, shake your hand anyway, all right?
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm cloud tries. Tell me of a home where no storm cloud tries. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Tell me that mine eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne and that whiter than snow in the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Go to page 160. There's still some fellowship in page 160.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Bless you, Don. Amen. Amen.
Charlie thought this morning when he was asleep in the boat. I think now, Charlie, the church.
Yeah. Bless you. Bless you, Donnie. Amen.
There'll be no more heartaches, no more pain, no more pain. We won't hear what the kind of news you throw out all day.
Amen. Bless you, Donnie. Bless your heart. Anyone else? Bless you. Bless you, Dana. Bless you, Dana. Bless you, Dana. Bless you, Dana. Amen. Bless you, Dana. Bless your heart. Amen. Someone else? Amen. Thank the Lord. Got a lot to pray about. I know that. Do we have any prayer requests? Oh my.
It's just a matter of time, you know, it's just up to the Lord.
Yeah.
Remember that family. I just can't imagine having two sons at the same time in the hospital.
That's the Crasser.
I know the mother, what she's going through.
Yeah.
His name is Victor Crasser.
Lena, John, and Victor Crasser.
And John is in the Hayes Valley Hospital, and Victor is in the Thomas Hospital.
Definitely remembers. The Crasser family, for sure.
They really
need to pray. Amen. Yes, John.
I'm sorry if I nervous enough. Yeah, they got me going down to Thomas tonight to see her somebody, and they think it's that she's supposed to say it, but I know the Lord, and I believe that he's going to be in that situation. So I just ask prayer.
Amen. Remember that request for that one that's close. Amen.
That's my prayer, that God will intervene and just take care of it all, and he won't have to go through that.
Yeah, Mike and Brenda's grandson, Aiden. Remember Aiden Wolf. Amen.
Belinda's mom.
Yeah, Belinda's mom, Ernie's wife. I believe her name Joyce? Joyce Waite. She's dealing with pancreatic cancer, I do believe. But definitely remember that family. Remember Joyce. Did they send her home out?
They're going to try some more tests.
Okay, they're going to try some more tests.
But
okay.
The doctor said she was too far gone when he released her. Now, where they're going, I don't know.
Okay, definitely remember that family, the Waite family. Amen. Remember Summer Bogus, absolutely.
Dreamer's daughter. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's a fighter. She's really a fighter. And I admire her for being such a fighter. But this is not funny. You know, this is she's just like our children. And she was mine, which, you know, she's very close to us. And it's a bad thing, you know, when one of our children has cancer.
Yeah. Remember Summit?
It's really concerning, and let's not forget Summit.
Amen.
She had her first chemo, didn't she, Donnie? And it was really, really tough. It was really the first strong one. And she'll have two or three more strong ones.
She got 15 altogether. There'll be four really tough.
Amen.
And this is just, she just acts like there's nothing to it, but yet there is.
Yeah.
It's serious.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Judy and Bertha for the card that they sent me. The verse of the scripture Judy sent me. It really touched me.
Amen.
If it was our daughter, we'd be concerned about it too.
Amen. 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 Someone else.
We have a half sister. It's her hospital bed. Her blood pressure is real high. She's 92, but she's a Christian.
Yeah. Remember Theodore's half sister. 92. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Someone else. Bless you. Your niece and nephew, right? Is that what you said?
Pardon?
I didn't hear the names.
Courtney and Justin Pipes. They're my niece and nephew.
Courtney and Justin. Okay. Bless the Lord.
Chelsea Young requests a prayer for a friend of hers whose little 2-year-old was diagnosed with a brain tumor and they were not able to get it off. And that just so breaks my heart, and I just would ask our church to lift up that family.
Amen. Lift up the family of Chelsea's friend, whose baby is 2, and they weren't able to get all the brain tumor. Lift that. Lord knows all about that. That's the Lord. someone else.
Safe trip there, a safe trip back. But
right.
More than that, but, you know, he is the great healer.
Amen.
Yes.
And everything that we have and everything that we hope to have comes from him.
Amen.
So I'd ask you to remember my wife.
Amen. Amen. What's her name? I'm sorry.
Betty.
Betty. Amen. Remember Betty. Absolutely. He can do it. Thank the Lord. Someone else. Mita. Mita and Tracy. Continue to remember Roberta's sister and cousin, Mita and Tracy. Amen.
They got to go. They got to put a thing down your throat. May have a hiatal hernia or whatever. I had one in scar tissue from heartburn. It blocks your food from going down. I've had to have mine stretched several times. But just remember him and also our military and our nation.
Amen. Remember Jim's brother is going to have surgery, and also remember our military and our nation. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? She has a very special unspoken. Very special unspoken. Amen. Amen. Remember Lucy. Don't know the need, but she asked us to remember in prayer. The Lord knows. Amen. Amen. Remember her.
And also Dawson was born with a hole in his heart, and it's been looked at every year, and he's fine. You know, they let him do sports and all that stuff. He has no restrictions. But this past December when he went, they said his left side was larger, and they want to see him in 6 months instead of a year, so he'll be going back in June. So just pray that that'll be taken care of and that he won't have to go through heart surgery or anything.
Hey, amen. Please remember Stan and Carla's grandchildren, and also continue to remember Dawson. Amen.
Wendy's brother, he was my ex-boss, stamp plant. He's a fine fella, but he needs to be here with the Lord.
Amen.
Remember him.
Amen.
Right, Wendy?
Wendy's brother, amen. He's the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. The altar's always open. If you want to come and pray, the Lord will meet you where you're at, or he'll meet you right here. But pray until you reach the throne. Rosalie, I'm sorry. And Rosalie has a very special unspoken. Imagine what that mother's going through right now.
Sometimes I feel discouraged. My life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, hide thou me.
Vicki told me not to drag it on. She said, you give Steve plenty of time in the pulpit. I told her I was going to call on her to sing and testify.
Steve Tencher's going to sing.
Steve Tencher, are you going to sing?
Yeah.
Don't dilly-dally. Let's go, brother. You're going to get me in trouble.
Well, y'all pray for me. I 3 o'clock this morning, my nose was running. I was congested. My head was hurting. And I thought I was really getting sick. And I went to my mother-in-law's and had some fried chicken. And I feel pretty good.
There you go.
So I found a new cure for this.
Now, some of us have known T. Don's cooking will grow back a limb. So we know that. Yes, sir.
There's a land that I have been told, where the streets are paved with gold, the bright flowers bloom through all eternity. Mansions are glistening on the bright shore, beauty this world could never afford. I've got a reservation, my name's been written down. I've got a reservation to walk the streets of gold. I've got a reservation where the pearly gates unfold. In heaven my name's been written down. I long to hear that trumpet sound. I've got a reservation, my name's been written down. There's a banquet table that's spread, filled with milk and honey and bread, where we shall dine while the eternal ages roll.
My friends and loved ones, they will be there, robed in garments bright and fair. I've got a reservation, my name's been written down. I've got a reservation to walk the streets of gold. I've got a reservation where the pearly gates unfold. In heaven my name's been written down. I long to hear that trumpet sound. Oh, I've got a reservation, my name's been written down. Oh yes, I've got a reservation to walk the streets of gold. I've got a reservation where the pearly gates unfold. In heaven my name's been written down. I long to hear that trumpet sound. I've got a reservation, my name's been written down.
Amen. You know the way things are going, you better have your reservation, because I'm not sure that the Lord wouldn't come tomorrow morning or tonight or some other time. The filth and the stuff that's going on in this world is just, it's so disgusting and discouraging sometimes. And you come out here and you see the young people here and the people here, and it just, you get away from all that, and it just makes you feel so good inside to come in this place. And to listen to the prayer request, it just breaks your heart for some of these people that's got some serious issues. And I thank God for the feeling that I get when I come into this sanctuary. It's Amen. Just, it's wonderful.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. I got one request here. I'll do it and get out of the way. Just traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, no toil or danger in that bright world to which I go. 'Cause I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there, no more to roam. I am just going over Jordan. Oh, I am just going over home. I want to sing salvation story in concert with the blood-washed band. I want to wear my crown of glory when I get home to that good land. 'Cause I'm going there to see the saved ones who passed before me one by one. Oh, I am just going over Jordan. Yes, I am just going over home. Free from every trial,
this form will rest beneath the sod. I'll drop the cross of self-denial. I'll enter in my home with God, 'cause I'm going there to see my Savior, who shed for me His precious blood. Oh, I am just going over Jordan. Oh, I am just going over home. Oh, I am just going over.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. 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 Someone with a witness. I don't know if he was at the suit, but toward the end there, I got to watching. I tell you what, the young people were going, they were getting some work done. And I mean, they were really into it. They were putting up tables and chairs and doing this and doing that and clean. And I was like, man, let me get out the way. Let them enjoy the blessings of the Lord, because they was busy, Robbie. They really was. And they was working very hard, Debbie. They really were. They really were. So my hat's off to them. They got a good bunch of kids. And you see them out at the game. And anyway, they're a good representation of the Lord out in public. I don't know how else to say it. They are. Someone else. Bless you, Robbie.
Don't have a lot to say. Just want to say I'm glad I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've got a home over there.
Amen.
I'm glad that Jesus made the way, no matter what I'm like, no matter how bad I am, how bad I was, no matter how unworthy I was, He counted me worthy.
Amen.
And He saved me one day. And because of that, I'm not just going home, I'm going home.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going home to stay forever to live with Him. Yep. And I thank Jesus for that.
Amen. Bless you, Rob. Amen. Anyone else? Thank the Lord. Anybody else got? Bless you, Joe.
It's good to be back.
Bless you, Joe.
Lawrence and I this morning, it started off real good. We listened to WQBE and we heard Brother JT singing, "It Is Well My Soul."
Yes.
We cranked the radio up, and I said, "That's the best song I ever heard."
Yeah.
And after that, it was all good. I ended up eating 3 bowls of soup.
Thank the Lord.
It was really being good. But I'm thankful. The Lord's been good.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? Steve, we've had the suit. Bless you. Bless you, buddy. Bless your heart. Bless you. Amen. Bless you. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Bless you, Jim. I'm just glad that I'm ready to go. Just like the people down there, how about that? For one heartbeat away.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I don't want to hinder the service. Anyone else? Thank the Lord. Steve, I was saying we've had the soup. It's up to you to bring the meat. Bless you. Bless you, Steve.
Remember, it's a good spirit here, Steve.
Amen.
on some of that fried chicken. Right? If it helped you sing like he sung, I'd like to have some of that fried chicken. Amen. I'm sure that was good. Good to be here tonight, and we've had a great time today. Appreciate all those who had the soup, and that was wonderful. Abundant amount of soup over there, and I tried three of them, and it's more soup than I've eaten in a while, but that was good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight, and thank you all for welcoming us into your church the way you have. And we're just glad to be here. You know, the Lord's been opening some doors, and we're thankful. Anytime I get to preach, I count it a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. And I love to preach. And I've preached for 40 years. When you're not pastoring, and you think, well, I'm just going to church today. I've always been used to going to church and preaching. Amen. But I thank God for the privilege when I get to. God knows what He's doing. And I just leave it in His hands, and He's been opening doors. And we thank for the privilege to preach here when the Lord allows it and whenever it's supposed to be. And the way I look at it, nothing is by chance with the Lord. Amen. And we're here tonight for a reason. You're here tonight for a reason. And it's just good to be in the Lord's house. Turn to Judges chapter 16 this evening. We want to look a little bit at Samson. Maybe we can learn something from him to help us. Because Samson here, and we think about Samson, you know, if you look at his life, he wasn't what you call really the best example in the world. Amen. I mean, Samson had some problems. He really did. But I want to tell you something. If you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find that Samson was listed among those in the Faith Hall of Fame. I want you to think about that. He might have been put there just to show us that it's only by the grace of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ that we get to heaven. Amen. Amen. It's only by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us that we get to heaven. Definitely not on what we've done. If we could have done it, He wouldn't have had to come. And I thank God He came. Because I see myself have had my past in my life as Samson. And so often in our daily life, because the devil never quits working on us. He never quits. He never gives up, folks. And he's always going to work on us. Samson had that problem. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story about Samson. I'm just going to go through some things here that the Lord has given me. But in chapter 13 through chapter 16, it's a whole story of Samson. Israel, for about 400 years, they didn't have a king. They had judges that God raised up in the land to just help them drive off the enemy so often. It's about the way it worked. And Samson, he was amongst those, all right, that did that. God used him. He was a Nazarite. Well, let's put it this way. He took the Nazarite vow, all right? He took the Nazarite, his mother, even from before he was born. They told him he was to drink no wine, any kind of grape juice, anything to do with the vine, eat any grapes, anything like that. Part of the Nazarite vow. But one of the things was he couldn't put a razor to his head. That's going to be very important tonight. When you think about that, that's part of the message tonight. He was not supposed to cut his hair. Now, his hair, by the way, there was nothing in his hair, all right? His hair was it was the testimony of his consecration to God, is what his hair showed. Same as circumcision was to the Jew, it was to show that they had been circumcised in a sense, set aside to God in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it is the circumcision of the heart, all right? So you don't see that. You should in our lives, but it's in there, amen? It's in there. But in the Old Testament, you know, it was the circumcision of the flesh. But here, his consecration to God was shown in his testimony outwardly by his locks, I guess I could use that word. You know what I'm saying if I use locks, all right? I'm talking about his hair. Samson's life and death. You know,
sometimes we think about people when they have it in a high position, like Samson was. He was a judge over Israel. He was one of their judges. So often we need to humble ourselves. Samson wasn't a very humble person. We know that. He had problems. He had problems with women, all right? That was one of his problems. He was kind of arrogant in some ways. Samson was. As we'll see as we go along here. But so often, we think about in our own lives, the closer we walk to the Lord, the more the flesh will attack us. The closer we walk with the Lord, the more our flesh will attack us. Before I get started, I want us to bow our heads. I want to have a word of prayer. All right, Father, thank you that we can be here this evening. Father, I praise you, for you're worthy of praise. You are God, and there's none beside thee, creator of the heavens and the earth. I thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to stand behind this desk and be able to preach your word. Holy Spirit, fill me, anoint me, and may I preach thy word with power. And Father, may each of us leave here rejoicing that we could be in the house of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The stronger we think we are in our lives, it seems like the more tempted we'll be, especially you're going to have problems if you trust in your flesh. The Bible says, take heed, in the book of Corinthians, when you think you stand, lest ye fall. It happened here in the life of Samson, as we'll see. In our lives, we must be careful. It can happen to us the same way it happened to Samson. He had some amazing accomplishments, and I'm going to kind of go through some of those. You think about his life, though it may not have been a great example by a lot of the things that he did in his life. He wasn't very respectful even to his wife. How many here tonight would get by with calling your wife a heifer? You ain't going to get by with that, amen? But Samson did that. I mean, he could be very disrespectful. How many, Samson, he decided because his wife ratted on him, like I just said, and let the riddle out of the bag that he had told, that he was going to be able to gain these 30 suits, off of these guys if they didn't guess his riddle. He had this riddle, but his wife, they kept telling her because she was of their clan, get the answer to the riddle or we're going to lose a suit of clothes to this guy. So they kept on and on and on until finally she found from Samson what it was, and because she kept going at him, and he just kept hearing the griping about it till finally he gave her the answer. And, of course, he didn't get the suit of clothes, 430 suits of clothes from him, and he called her a heifer for doing that. Now, folks, that's not a very respectful person, amen? Another thing is, Samson, he didn't have 30 suits of clothes to give away, so what's he do? He goes out and slays 30 guys, takes their clothes, and gives the 30 suits to these guys. Now, Samson wasn't the nicest of fellas sometimes. But sometimes, you think about this, how could his name be listed in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I believe, because like David was not a perfect person, but God said he had a heart after him. And when he did something wrong, folks, he confessed it, David did, and got it right because his heart was after the Lord. Oh, how the flesh sometimes can be very, very, very hard on us. He had some amazing accomplishments. I mean, he found a lion one time, it came and attacked him, and he ran it like a kid. That means it's like a baby goat, He took that thing, I don't know how he did it, where he grabbed it by the jaws. That's the pictures you see sometimes in the Bibles, He rent that thing in two with his bare hands. He slew 1,000 Philistines, it said. He took the jawbone of an ass that he found laying there, and he slew 1,000 Philistines with it. I tell you what, that's pretty amazing. One time he got aggravated and this is an amazing feat to me. You know, a guy can go fox hunting, maybe. I never did fox hunt, but you go fox hunting, they make one or two foxes maybe. But here Samson gathered up 300 foxes. 300, it had to be a miracle. 300 foxes. And he took those foxes and tied two of them together with a firebrand between them, and he burnt the fields of the Philistines with them. 150 sets of foxes running through the field with their tails on fire. Amen. Basically what it was. I mean, he did some amazing things. God used it, and I think it was God. This was the enemies of the children of Israel, the Philistines. God allowed it to happen. I think God brought him the foxes. I can't see any other way. Nobody would have had 300 fox traps set. Amen. Not only that, but all the times that we'll see here as we go along, how he broke the restraints. That these were feats of Samson. These were feats. God can do as much with one as he can do with 300, as he did with Gideon. Samson was just one. He never asked for any help. He was a man of God, in a sense. He told Joshua, God did, and in Joshua chapter 1, that they would chase 1,000, that one would chase 1,000. And Samson, I guess you could say, was an example of that. God usually begins with one man. Jesus began with two. As he was teaching, two of them followed him, and they became his disciples. He began with two. Amen. God does great things. Samson used foolish things to confound his enemies, and I named them to you. But that's what God does. God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the things of the wise. Amen. That's the way God works. He had superhuman strength. He was a strong person. Now, I don't think, because they had to ask him, as we see here in a little bit, Delilah asked him, where, Samson, do you get your strength? Now, I don't think he looked like Conan the Barbarian, amen? I don't think he was shiny and muscled up. I don't think he looked like that. She wouldn't have had to ask him where you got your strength if you're sitting there looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, amen? He didn't look like that. Samson was just a regular looking guy. Like any one of us, maybe. Because he had God's strength. He had the strength of the Lord. Not the arm of flesh was his strength, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It was all by God's strength. Human muscle is never developed into spiritual strength. For bodily exercise profiteth little. You can tell by looking at me, amen. But godliness is profitable unto all things. I'd much rather be muscled up in the things of God than in bodily strength. Amen. But it's our world today, isn't it? Everybody, I mean, see these commercials of people riding those bikes till the sweat pop, and all the, and that's just part of the scene today. Everybody, you know, they think they're going to live forever, I guess. I don't know. In this body, bless God, we're going to live forever, but not in this body. Amen. But they think somehow, you know, things are going to continue on, so we'll just, you know. But real power comes just like it did at Pentecost, where it said what? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It is a gift given to those to be used properly. God will never give us the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life unless we're going to use it. God will never fill the tank of an automobile if it's going to sit in the garage. Amen? That's right. But he will fill us if we ask him to, because how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will if we will do what he asks us to do. That's not hard, is it? But when a person has the power of the Spirit of God on them, such as Samson did, the Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament. It's in us in the New Testament, but it came upon him, and on those in the Old Testament, just as it did on Samson here. But temptations will come. Temptations will come. And if you're not tempted tonight, give me your secret. Amen. Verse number 16. We know the story. Delilah was someone that Samson had picked out. And again, this was Samson out of God's will, basically, here. Samson had done a lot of things. Well, see here, there's the little foxes. You've probably heard sermons preached on the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines, right? It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. They just keep nipping around the vines, you know, until finally the big old vine dies. The whole vine died. The little foxes spoil the vine. That's what was happening in Samson's life. As you see these things begin to add up, all the things he was doing that was against God's will, taking women out of those who were not in, who were not Jewish, and all those kind of things. We see all these things happening. Samson was out of God's will. He was, and things were beginning to pile up here. There was a continual temptation here, and it will wear you down. Verse 16 of chapter 16, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. She kept asking him, Samson, where does your strength come from? Because we know the story. Every time he would tell her something, well, if she wrapped me with these withes, you know, and these green withes, he said, that's where my strength is. And you can bind me up with those, and I've had it, you know. And they would do that. She would do it. They'd bind him up, and she'd say, all right, come in and get him. And he'd break those things like they were threads, and he'd whip them and be gone. He did that several times to her, and eventually, you know, she began to just pour it on and pour it on and pour it on. Samson, you know, you got to tell me. You don't love me. That's what goes on down here to say. You don't love me if you don't tell me. Temptations. The temptation was aimed at where he got his strength. And this is what the devil will do to us. He will tempt us so often, not only at our strength, but at our weaknesses. Those things that so easily beset us in our lives as Christians, and each one of us have different things that we may be easily beset by or are tempted with. Each one of us are different. But I want to tell you something, the devil, I think, knows those things. And those who work with him. He had stepped, first of all, into the tempter's snare by his love for Delilah, which was out of God's will. Because the Bible says in Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And any young person here, if you're ever thinking about marriage, as a child of God, don't yoke up with an unbeliever. Amen? Pick somebody who knows the Lord. You'll have a whole lot less trouble. Problems. Be not unequally yoked together as a man or son. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? To what communion have light with darkness? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth lead us beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running with the enemy will destroy our spiritual powers. That's what was happening to Samson. He was losing his powers. He was becoming weaker and weaker and didn't even know it. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Samson began to walk with fools. What are fools? The Bible tells me that a fool has said that there is no God. A fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And you got a lot of fools today, amen? A lot of people who believe that there is no God. So the Bible characterizes him as a fool. Temptations came. We see his failure when those temptations came. If you go down to verses 19 and 20, after he had, she had ribbed him. And that's the way temptations are. I mean, you just keep getting hit and hit and hit with temptations till finally, if you stay close to where those temptations are, you will eventually give in to those temptations. She kept ribbing him and ribbing him and ribbing him. That's the temptation. Ribbing you and ribbing you and ribbing you. The temptations are different. Until finally, this is what will happen if we're not careful in verses 19 through 20. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him and his strength went from him. And she said to the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as I have at other times before and shake myself. And he knew not or wist not that the Lord was departed from him. While he slept. That's why the scripture says it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. If we are not where we need to be with the Lord, and I don't know any of our hearts, but if we're not where we need to be with the Lord, it's high time to wake out of sleep and realize that Satan, if you're not careful, he will cut the locks of your hair. He will steal, in a sense, your victory and your power. His strength was gone. We see his failure. He had lost his testimony. I was reading Aaron Rodgers. Anybody know Aaron Rodgers? Anybody heard of Aaron Rodgers? Quarterback, right? I believe Packers. But anyways, quarterback. Now, I didn't know this, but I was reading this just the other night. And boy, he was giving God down the road. He was telling how he himself, he was raised in a Christian family. And how that he looks around the things in the world and he cannot believe there's a God. I tell you what's happened, folks. And it can happen to children when they go to college and different things. We're not careful. If you don't raise them up and nurture things, the admonition of the Lord, they will lay their head in the lap of the enemy and they will beat at them with their untruths and their lies and their evolution and their atheism and all the rest of it, and they will shear the locks from their head. They will destroy them with their ungodly teachings. Now this man, I don't know whether he lost it in college as far as what his beliefs were, or whether the fame and the fortune and the money and the things he may have gotten when he went into the NFL, I don't know what it was that may have been the scissors that cut his hair, but whatever it was, he fell prey to it. Now here's a he-man that was destroyed by a set of scissors. Amen. All it took, once the enemy had got his head in its lap, sleeping. And that's what Satan tries to do to each of us. To get us to lay down and sleep in our Christianity. Get us comfortable. Now, it had been chipping away for quite a while. I heard a story, and I read a story in reference to this as I was thinking about this, and this, how down in the south somewhere they had this great big old oak tree, one of the biggest old oak trees that's been around for hundreds of years. That's beautiful. Every year that oak tree would come out in leaf and bloom. And people just admired it because of its age, and one night a storm hit. They went out the next day and that oak tree lay over. Little did they realize that oak tree was hollowed out from the inside. It was rotten. It looked good on the outside, but it had rotten from the inside and it fell over. And that's what happened to Samson. These temptations kept coming into his life, these different things that he kept giving in to, all the ways he was being defeated in a sense, and he didn't know it. He didn't know it until it happened, but from the inside out, he began to rot and give in to temptations till finally he gave in completely, in a sense, and fell over. He had laid his head in the lap of the enemy and got comfortable, forgot where his strength came from. In the vine. Jesus said, you only have strength as you're in the vine. Because he said, without me, you can do nothing. Right. Yeah. Samson was relying on the flesh. He has lost his defense with his enemies. God, or Moses, told the children of Israel after God had told him in Numbers chapter 14, only rebel not against the Lord, Moses said, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That is, as you follow the Lord and stay close to Him, we have the defense set up. God will run the defense, amen? Let Him run the defense. You know what the offense is. It tells us right here. The plays are given to us right here, amen? Right in his book, how you ought to live, how you ought to walk, where you ought to run, where to catch a pass, whatever. God gives it right here in his blessed book. His strength was not in his hair. It just showed his consecration to the Lord. But when his head was shaved, he lost his testimony. He lost his testimony. It showed he was not consecrated anymore unto the Lord. That he was not separated unto the Lord. So often, we'll lose our testimony. He said, I'll just get up, shake myself, just like I always have. Samson thought his strength, seemingly he thought his strength was in his own flesh. Philistines came in and took him like a kid, amen? Came in and took him away. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Samson had forgotten where his strength came from. We see his bondage. Samson was like that one in the book of Proverbs. And I like studying the book of Proverbs. And chapter number 7, verse 26 and 27 says, for she has cast down many wounded. This is the world, by the way, all right? The wisdom of the world. She has cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Now, that's pretty strong words, amen? That's what the Word of God says. He went into terrible bondage. In verse number 21 it says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was betrayed in a sense by the one he loved. And I'll tell you today, there are people that are being betrayed by the sins they love. They've been betrayed by drugs. They're betrayed by alcohol. They're betrayed by all the filth of this world. They've been betrayed by the one they love. Sin will always betray you, and you'll end up being chained by it, imprisoned to it, chained to it, as Samson was here. Grinding in the prison house. It will cause spiritual blindness. They poked out his eyes, drug out his eyes. It will give you spiritual blindness. And you will grind in the prison house. In that sin. Satan wants us grinding in his prison house. We must not have let him blind our spiritual eyes. Amen. It's not letting put out our spiritual eyes as children of God. Let's keep them open. Let's keep them in the Word of God. Close to the Lord Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, the Lord's work can become, if we're not careful as Christians, we don't want to be think of it as a drudgery. Without the Holy Spirit of God, it can become a drudgery in our lives. There are a lot of people grinding, in a sense, in churches because they're trying to do it in the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's a drudgery to them. They don't enjoy it. I enjoy preaching the Word of God. Amen. Serving the Lord. It doesn't mean Satan don't want me in his prison house. Amen. If he does. We don't want to grind in the prison house of self-will as children of God. There are so many things that we could be hit with, in a sense, like Samson was when she kept asking him where his power lies, where his power lies. All the things in this world that can take away our power. Think about it. A bad heart, a bitter heart, a bitter spirit, backbiting, all kind of things. He's done quit preaching, went to meddling, amen? I don't know of anybody meddling, backbiting, no. But I'm saying those kind of things can chip away at our testimony and can shear our locks, in a sense, of God's power and our consecration to the Lord. But it doesn't end there. Thank God. Amen? And it doesn't end there. Verse 28 through 30, it says, and Samson called on the Lord. They brought him out. They had him. He was their sideshow, you know, when they'd have a party or something. They'd bring him out and put him between the big pillars there in the Colosseum where they're having their good time, you know, and they'd bring Samson out and let him sport a little bit, you know, and there he was. And one thing they forgot to recognize, Samson's hair began to grow again. Amen. Samson's hair began to grow again. They didn't know anything about a Nazarite vow. All they knew was he had strength when he had hair. When he didn't have hair, he didn't have any strength. He didn't know. He recognized that his hair, you know, was growing out again. But Samson cried out to God in verse 28 and called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, and the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. When we come to a point in our lives when we realize we have lost the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, we can be like Samson, as David did in Psalms 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. And he heard me. Oh, I thank God that when I cry out to the Lord in my distresses, God hears me. God will answer my prayers. This is the only time we find him acknowledging the Lord. Do you think about it? Read it from 13 on through verse chapter 16. That's the only time we ever find Samson acknowledging God. If he'd acknowledged him a little earlier back here, he wouldn't have had the problem with Delilah and some of the other things that he went through. And that's the thing in our lives. As long as we acknowledge the Lord, as long as we trust him, as long as we stay in his word, as long as we do what God wants us to do, we can have a much joyful Christian life. Amen. Much more joyful. Lives as children of God. The growing hair represented his growing faith. His hair began to grow, and it showed that again he had consecrated himself unto God. That he had separated himself unto God. I want to tell you something. When you're grinding in the prison house and you're walking around probably grinding that stone around, you know, grinding corn and making meal out of it and flour or whatever, you probably have a lot of time to think about what you've done in your life. Amen. A lot of those guys in prison have done bad things. I mean, they're in that prison cell. They got a lot of time to think about what the bad things that they've done in their lives. They have a lot of time to think about how they should make some kind of change in their lives. And this is what Samson was doing. He was a man of God, in a sense. God had chosen him, and God had used him as a judge of Israel to keep the Philistines at bay, actually, was what he was doing. But he failed the Lord. But I'm glad God doesn't give up on us, amen. I'm glad God still heard him. God still loved him. He separated himself unto the Lord. Faith and consecration will restore one's power. He never asked to be set free. He just wanted to do one more thing to the Lord before his life was taken, or while his life was being taken. He wanted to go down in a flame of fire for the Lord. Amen. I mean, he wanted to go down doing something to the glory of God to the very end. I've heard of preachers dying of heart attacks in the pulpit. To me, that'd be a good way to go. Amen. Going down in a flame of glory. Never sought to be saved. His willingness to die to self. You think about this for a moment. And there's a lesson here, and there's another sermon here, and I'm going to quit because the time is running nigh. But listen, he died to self right there. Think about it. He died to self. When he grabbed a hold of those pillars and he felt the power of God come upon him, and he said, Lord, grant me just one more time. Just one more time, Lord. Give me your power. And he put his hands against that pillar and he leaned forward. And he died to self. And my friends, listen to me. Unless we die to self, we can never do anything to God for the glory of God. We have to die to self. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that we would live that way, that I would live that way. It's not I that live. It is Christ that lives in me. That's how, when it says praying in Jesus' name, that's what it means. You pray and you're in Christ, you're praying in his name. That's not a magic one word that we use, those three words, in Jesus' name. But friends, if you're in Christ, you've been saved, you're praying when you come to the Lord, you're praying in the name of Christ. Because it's not us anymore, it's Christ in me, in you, when we're in Christ. Samson. Yes. He had some problems, and so don't we. He had made some bad choices, and so haven't I, and so haven't you. But if it came down to brass tacks, and Samson realized what he had threw away, he realized what he had wasted. He realized what he could have done for God if he had just been faithful, if he had just listened, if he had just done what the Holy Spirit, while he was on him, prompted him to do. If he just walked that way, what he could have done for God. But sometimes, God has to get our attention. The Bible says he chastises his own. I read that in the book of Hebrews too, amen? He chastises his own. Not out of pleasure, but out of love. I can remember chastising my three sons when they were growing up. And I'd set them down and I'd cry sometimes. Well, I wasn't doing it to hurt them. because I loved them. Now, they couldn't understand that. And they would have thought I was crazy saying that. But that's what God does. And I want to tell you, sometimes God's chastisement can be pretty harsh. But it's because He loves us. Don't allow the temptations of this world, like it happened to Samson, to keep digging at you and tempting you and ribbing you like Delilah did Samson, and finally he gave in. That's the way the devil works. He just keeps on and on and on and on and on. And friends, if we don't send Christ to defeat him, eventually you may give in like Samson. I hope not. But we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Then you'll not fulfill the lust of flesh. We're going to sing here in a minute. Brother Chris, come. We're closing out here. It's time to go. But I've said all I have to say. As a Christian, I realize Satan's temptations. And I know, as a preacher, I can tell you things, because I know how Satan, those that are trying to do God's work, especially as a minister, how Satan will tempt. And how that you have to realize and understand his devices and what he comes at you with. And when he comes knocking at your door to tempt you, send Christ to the door, amen? Amen. To answer the door. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these men in the scriptures that we can learn from. Their lives, Lord, their problems, sometimes their failures, and then their victories, Father. Help us to learn from them, Lord. Help us to realize how Satan is out to get each one of us. And may we walk close to Thee and do Thy will in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.
Page 148.
If you feel you need to come and pray, you come. We all need the Lord's strength.
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on His name you call. He is always there. Walking by our side, in His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you. Filled with sorrow and despair, does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. walking by our side. In His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you.
Challenged by the Word of God. I didn't see Steve. I saw the Lord speaking to him, to me. That's how I looked at it. Powerful message challenges. How's your hair? Where's your strength? Where do you stand? My. We need to take it home, digest it. That's what's good about recording the messages. You can take it home and listen at your own time. This is a wonderful crowd for Sunday night. And you heard a powerful message. Yeah. And God is still doing work if we just listen to Him. We appreciate every one of you tonight. Remember, the services Wednesday night. Tim, are we having a meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We'll dismiss and, well, you tell them why we're having a meeting, Jimmy, before I dismiss.
Well, it's our regular business meeting, but okay. We have a lot to discuss, a lot of things to go over.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The more people stay, the better it is.
And I'd like for all of you to stay, if you would. You need to hear the business of the church, what's going on, the progress. And as I told you the other day, you can see your church money, not your tax money, your church money at work for His glory. I think God's house ought to be one of the prettiest places in the community, not only spiritually, but physically. Yeah. Any other? Hunter, are you going to take up the offering? Okay. Hunter, and he's looking at you. These kids, when they're standing up there, they're telling me, and you don't put, they're looking at you. You're like, probably saying, alms, please. Yeah.
Pastor Al, we've had some candidates to be baptized.
Yes.
They want to be baptized outside the creek, so we're not going to have a baptism. This coming Sunday, but we'll, once it warms up a little bit, we'll have that. There's three or four that want to be baptized and want to be in.
Okay.
So we'll take it down there and do it.
Jimmy, have they taken care of cleaning it up and everything?
We'll have to do that sometimes.
Okay. I'm sure that the Baileys helped their daughters to get this food ready, and it was delicious.
Yes.
It was delicious, you know. I really appreciate them doing that. They're trying to help themselves and for the progress of helping the children get to know the Lord better and in these events. Any other announcement? Father, we thank you for the message, for the messenger, for this wonderful looking crowd, for the services today. Reminding our Father the price that you paid for us, the sacrifice that you made, the fulfilling, our Father, of your word of God, then the message, Lord God, by a very, very strong man that his weakness and sin, Lord God, got the best of him. You go with us this evening. We'll have the regular business meeting. And Father, remember the offering. It'll all be used to your glory in Christ's name. Amen.